been a good morning. It's been a good meeting, I think, so far. Do you?
Yes.
It's been strong, hasn't it? It's great to hear so much encouragement, so many different things going on in the life of the church. Great to be praising together and all recognising what God's doing. I'm really excited and encouraged by that. And I'm also excited and encouraged because between the various speakers so far this morning, you've preached about half of what I wanted to say. So thank you, Paul, your work is done in particular. Thank you, brother. That's fantastic. I'm going to be sharing a bit on where we're up to in our vision as a church, the direction we're going as a church, and the steps forward that we want to take. Before I do, I would just, something struck a nerve with me at the beginning that I just wanted to acknowledge. I was away Friday and Saturday with Andy and Karina at a retreat for leaders in the Synergy part of Salt and Light that we belong to. And it was a really good chance to meet other church leaders from around the country. But one of the people there was Aled Griffith. Aled came on the Saturday morning, and Aled, just a week ago yesterday, lost his wife in a battle to cancer after a couple of years. And he shared one of the most powerful testimonies of the last week of someone's life that I have ever heard. It was beautiful. It reduced pretty much everyone to tears. But it was wonderful to hear his story, how in that final week they could worship together, they could pray together, they read the Bible together, different people from the church came in, Helen got to share some really important things with the church and with the family. It was beautiful. And I guess I just want to contrast that. It was wonderful to hear great testimony this morning, wasn't it, of God's healing touch and preservation for you, Heather, and God's care. But I also want to say there's just as much care and love and God's presence in the midst for those who have to journey towards death. And that's the goodness of God. And some of us will not have had our prayers answered for healing in the way we would like, and that's still okay. And God's still present in the midst of that. And I just want to encourage us in that this morning. We belong to a good God who cares for us in all circumstances. And we celebrate the healing, provision of our NHS. But we can also see goodness of God in so many ways, even when things don't go the way we would like. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Plans and progress. I'm going to touch on a few things. And you've been provided with an information leaflet. Ooh. One of the things that we joked about in the church office this week, please don't all look at it now. Look, I've got everyone here. Oh, no, you're just going to ignore me for like the next 20 minutes. You're like, shut up, Rich, I'm reading. It's there for you. One of the things we joked about was, what picture should we have on the front, Julia? And Julia and Jane said it needs to say Rich's manifesto. And we need a picture of me with a red suitcase, like they do in budget week, looking all serious going into the church office. That could not be further from the truth this morning. I'm going to be sharing what is our collective vision, our shared vision and aspirations. I'm going to touch on what flavour of aspiration I think I would like to bring as the leader of the church, but this is our collective shared vision. It has come from a group of people, more than just some of these people, but these are just some of the people who got together in March of this year to look at our vision and values and where we're going. Lots of other people had contributed to the conversations on that day, before the day in March and during that day, but they're just some of them. This is collective, this is us as church family all contributing to where we're going. Those group of people though had a couple of key questions in mind. We were looking at where we're encouraged, where we saw signs of life and growth, signs of fruitfulness, but we were also looking at where things looked like they were in need of care and attention, and perhaps where things were needing a bit of extra encouragement. We want to acknowledge it's all about people. This isn't about, kind of stuff written on paper and policy and procedure and a nice looking strategy. This is about me and you, the hopes we have, the dreams we have, what we believe God is saying to us. And so in what I'm talking about this morning, there are lots of people, as we've already identified, who are part of making these things happen and are part of the vision and plans. There's just one more that I want to introduce and welcome this morning. She can sit uncomfortably in her seat, and that's Martha. Can we give a welcome to Martha? Martha briefly now. Martha works for the YMCA and belongs to Belmont Church, but has kindly come and visited today to just say hello and be part of this occasion and stay for lunch. Her husband John is going to join us for lunch as well. But it's just a reminder that this is about people doing things together as people, and I would really encourage you, talk to Martha. Martha leads our youth outreach on a Thursday, looking after the two youth clubs, and it'd be great to talk to her about what's going on in that setting. So when we came together as a team, I'm just going to touch on a couple of things here, and the bulk of the information is in that leaflet and will further be online by the end of the week. I'm afraid we couldn't quite get it online by today, but you'll see it by the end of the week. So I am not going to be droning on in lots of detail, step by step view, in kind of business plan style. So I just want to say a couple of things. And that is that when we came together in March, I guess you can split what we discussed into two areas. One was about strengthening essential parts of church life. So we particularly felt that in this year period, there were things to organise, invest in, and kind of resource further to kind of strengthen existing practice. And there are three areas. They're around discipling culture, caring environment, and communicating well. And so I just want to say those things are in progress and process at the moment. They're not all sorted, but you can see in your leaflets, and when you look later this week online, the direction that we're trying to go down. We recognise one of the things that we understood in March this year was that there has been lots of advance, there's been lots of really positive signs, but we wanted to ensure we're all being cared for, we're all being equipped, and that now, as we've already identified again, there's a lot going on. Where there's a lot of us doing a lot of things. We've only mentioned a bit of it, you know. We could throw in lots of testimony from the Connects group, for instance, and all of the things that missional group is doing in the city in all sorts of different ways. So we're trying to make sure that we are collectively strengthened, we're resourced, and we're all understanding what we're each doing. Secondly, this year we have wanted to particularly grow and develop in a current couple of areas. So that was about pioneering and movement and also a sense of family. So there are, of course, lots of areas where we want to pioneer and develop, but we have given particular time and attention to the Pinhoe Monkerton group in the last 6 months and going forward continuing to do that because we felt they're at a crucial time. And it seems like there's a coming together of the churches, of the houses and estates being developed, where it was time to say, okay, now is the moment to really help this group push on. We've wanted to encourage the leaders of the group with their ideas and their creativity. So great that Tracy stepped forward in faith with Messy Church this year. And we want you to know that we're fully behind you as you try and take risk and step out in faith in God's name.
Yes.
It was really important that when we recruited Matt, that there was a specific line in his job description that said, time in Pinhoe and Monkerton. And that was the first time that we had been so explicit. Lots of us from the staff and lots from the leadership have been involved in Pinhoe and Monkerton, but there was a specific intent this year to say, we guarantee that there is a member of staff who is going to be backing up that mission work in Pinhoe and Monkerton as our collective investment behind that missional community. So big picture, this is the journey that we're kind of in the middle of at the moment. This is the kind of year-long process, but actually it's one that's only going to trigger new things. I blithely put in there, I almost didn't put it in, sell Cornerstone. As if that's like something you just do in a day. Tick, right, that's that, move on. Great deal of work has already gone into that, and we're very grateful for the working party and the trustees who are making sure that that process of selling that wonderful asset that this church has had for so many years is sold well and properly and releases the resources for fresh mission. But that is part of the journey that we're on. So over this year period, I guess what I'm saying is we are currently in a process of strengthening foundations, clarifying vision, making sure our house is in order, that we're looking after each other, but we're building to something further and exciting and a period of growth. So we want to be looking ahead, and already I started, as soon as I started leading the senior leadership team, the first thing I did was say, March 2020 is an important month for us, when we start really clarifying what's next. So actually at this stage I can't say all the things, because God's not made it clear to us yet, and we've not arrived on all those things. But I can say we're in a process at the moment where we prepare for an expanded vision. We're preparing for growth and for looking to see what more God will do in and through us. And so at the moment, we're just trying to meet with lots of people. We're trying to learn from other people. Christina and Maria, for instance, have been visiting a couple of other churches. We had Bridget down to look at our children's work and talk children and families with us. We're trying to learn lessons from others and have lots of conversations that can help bring us to a place of decision and insight and vision next March. I think it's exciting where we're heading. Can I encourage prayer in the midst of all that? Lots of prayer has gone on already, but actually next year there are going to be 3 key prayer weeks. And I would really encourage you to join in where you can in those prayer weeks. At the beginning of the year, into the new year, after our Sunday service of the 5th of January, there'll then be a prayer week then. In the March month, as we come up to the Vision Day, there'll be a week of prayer leading up to that. Then in May, there will be Thy Kingdom Come, a global prayer initiative, praying into God, Your Kingdom Come on earth as it is in heaven. And again, that will be a week for us to join in prayer. None of what we do will go forward unless we are being prayerful and relying on God, talking to Him all the time about where we're going as a church family. A little plug for early morning prayer, for instance. Everything has changed since we've moved from 6:45 to 7. Believe the difference that it has made in coming along. And I would just urge you, it's revolutionary now, and you can come at 7 and it feels like it's mid-morning. You would never know that it's 7 o'clock. Though it's dark outside, there is light in our hearts. Yikes. All right. Move on. Yes, lady, cocks are going back. It is great to be together. I have to say, it is genuinely, it's a real place of life for me. I love it, just coming together, put the coffee on, and just pray together about whatever's going on in the week, and pray for the people we know and care about, just for 50 minutes or so. It's a really special time together. And it was great, I was reminded just this morning by Sharon, saying this morning as she was praying for us, the reminder of Jesus' promise that where 2 or 3 are gathered in His name, there He is amongst us. And that's a great reminder. Thank you, Sharon. It's just simple truth. So, they're the kind of practicalities. The details are in your leaflet and will be available online later in the week. They're the kind of things that we're heading for and the kind of action that we're trying to take. In a moment, I want to talk about this phrase and what it means to me, but will you just take a moment, just take a minute, just talk to your neighbour. This is the phrase we've had as a church for a number of years. What does sharing life in Exeter mean to you? Somebody said to you, all right, it's a church, sharing life in Exeter. What's that all about? Talk to your neighbour. What would you answer them with? What would you say sharing life in Exeter means? 60 seconds. That was a bit. Everyone. It's good to mull these things, isn't it? Sometimes we have these phrases, we have these images, but they just kind of fade into the background, and sometimes it can be good to think, well, what does this mean? So I want to share a little bit about what I think that phrase means to me, and what I think it means for the life of our church and the future of our church. Last week, we were really encouraged. What I particularly liked about Bridget and her message was her encouragement that the children in this church family and the young people have things to bring us now that we need to hear and receive from. They have gifts to bring, and it's not just about us educating them and raising them. It's also that they have insight, they have understanding, they have ways of living that we can enjoy and receive too. I really enjoyed receiving from Anna Weber and Matthew Chan last week. We were blessed, and there was a connection between what they were sharing, and I understand in their conversation as children together that there was also coherence amongst the children in what they reflected on in the meeting. Anna said, "You can go anywhere and God will be with you." And she said it in this lovely way with her arms out wide, like a preacher in the prime of her life. You can go anywhere and God will be with you. And then Matthew reminded us from Joshua 1, chapter 1, verse 9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." I want to say that I have an expectation that a healthy, spirit-filled church can't help but grow and build the kingdom of God. And I guess when you talk about what do we each bring, what's each of our role, for me as church leader and in the role that I wish to serve you in, I'm going to come constantly with an ambition and an expectation that we collectively are going to grow and expand the kingdom of God together. That is just part of who we are, and it's what we do if we stay true to ourselves. And I want to say a bit about that, because there's lots to understand about that and the way we do that. But nonetheless, that's my starting point. For me, everything I read in here tells me that there's a God who loves his creation and constantly wants to break in and restore things and reveal his love to people and be present in amongst his creation. And this is just one giant story of a God who loves us and wants us to go on a journey with him in affecting his world for the good. And we get to join in with that. And so from my lens and from the future that I see for us, it's always one where we're joining in on that journey, and it's exciting and it's scary and it's ambitious, and it should be a lot of fun. So just yesterday I was asked by one of the leaders from a church in the Midlands, and they said, "Well, you know, what's your church like? Where are you going? Where are you heading? What are your ideas?" And so I shared a bit my aspirations, and I shared about what the missional communities are doing and how we're trying to do more to strengthen each other as a church and discipleship and pastoral care. And he said to me, "The word that comes to mind is Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous." And I said, "It's funny you should say that, because there's a young man just last week who shared that with our church family. Thank you, Matthew, for that step of faith." So I want to share a couple of things about sharing life in Exeter. Thank you, Cheryl, for your picture of the overflowing water. This for me is sharing life in Exeter. I think it's a bit like a waterfall that's overflowing, constantly spilling out to all around it. A healthy Isca church is an Isca church enjoying the water of life given by Jesus. We're so filled by him and by that water that we can't help but bring life to those around us. It's natural. It was so good a couple of years ago to be reminded of the 50th Jubilee and to be reminded of all the history of this church and the fact that, now when I talk to people and say, oh, I'm part of Isca Church, how many people say, oh yes, I know that church, I was a part of that church, I became a Christian in that church, I spent a significant part of my life in that church. This church has history of overflowing with God's power and spirit and life in a way that brought energy and life to those around it and to this city. And the exciting thing in the 50th Jubilee was the prophetic word, pioneer again. This is a pioneering church and it's time to pioneer again. We've received that call. And it's not that that's just our history, it's also that it's our future. And so for me, sharing life in Exeter isn't about abundance of God's life overflowing from us. Cheryl said it, there is nothing that can stop the Spirit of God bubbling up in us. It doesn't mean there aren't stones to remove in our daily walk with God. There aren't blockages that we need to address, but nonetheless, that is the overflowing power of God. So what does that look like in a bit more detail? When we say then this abundant life in God, what does it mean for us in the coming months and years as a church family? In Romania, Mark, Lucas and I went on a run. That was stupid of me. Yeah, sure, Mark, I really think while we're in Romania, I'd love to go for a run with you guys. So Mark says, okay, I know a place by a lovely monastery in Lipova, and there's a bit of a hill. That we can run up. And there's Mark and Lucas running up. And yeah, Mark, this is no problem. This is fine. I'm with you all the way. We made it. We made it to the top of the hill, and it was beautiful. There were lovely views over Lipova and all the surrounding countryside. As we got to the opening, we got to a grass verge where it started really flatting out, and we took our breath and were walking around. And some dogs started barking at us, a couple of dogs. They were barking a bit aggressively, who's there, what are you doing? And then we saw a man standing next to them. The man stood over the kind of crest of the hill and he was talking as if nobody was there. And he thought, hello, there's a kind of loony here just talking to the hill. And Mark and I, we walked past, didn't we? And kind of cautiously walked past the man and his dogs. And it was only as we walked past this man that we realized there was a collection of about 20 or 30 sheep all sitting together. And all this man was doing was talking calmly to his sheep. No idea what he was saying. I mean, he could have been saying, there's a couple of weirdos here, guys. Just sit still, hopefully they'll move on. I think he'd be saying anything. But there was a calming tone in his voice, and the sheep knew his voice, and they didn't panic. They sat there and just listened to their shepherd. So I think part of this sharing life in Exeter is about us knowing the shepherd's voice. Actually, it's not about kind of expansion, and we know what's best, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. Actually, it starts with us knowing the shepherd's voice. Again, I was so encouraged in the last 24 hours. One of the things we spent a whole evening on and then a following morning was being reminded that if we say the Lord is my shepherd, we're also saying I am a sheep. We were reminded of that when we did Psalm 23 over the summer period. We each, in part of this journey together, say, I am a sheep. I am dependent on God. I don't have great teeth, I'm vulnerable, I'm a bit stupid looking, speak for myself, and I am dependent, what's being said now, a bit woolly, oh yeah, absolutely, That's our declaration, isn't it? The Lord's my shepherd. And so part of our future and part of this focus when we say discipleship and pastoral care is we want to be a church family that encourages one another to know the shepherd's voice. We want to be in discipleship groups. We want to be a missional community. We want to be looking after each other through pastoral care. We want to be going around each other's houses. We want to be together on a Sunday morning all the time encouraging each other. Know the shepherd's voice. Secondly, we want to learn the lesson of Jesus and his ministry and his teaching, as exemplified by the story of the woman at the well. So it's great to see that film clip, wasn't it, and be reminded of the story of Jesus being in Samaria, in a place that was not great for him to be in as a Jew, in a place of vulnerability on his own, without his friends, in the middle of the day. And it says, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" And I was just reminded in preparing for this morning that Jesus constantly put himself in a position of vulnerability and dependence upon others. He taught that principle when he sent his disciples out on his mission. He said, "Take nothing with you." He said, "Go to places and receive hospitality." If you look at his life, he was largely a homeless wanderer, relying on the service and hospitality of others. And I just think that's a really helpful principle to remind us of. Again, as we say, we're sharing life and we want to pursue the kingdom. That there needs to be, and we mustn't have any sense of power and aggression or assertiveness as if we've got it all right and we're going out there to tell the world what's what. But actually, part of our service and our overflowing of God's love is out of humility and service and love to others and dependence on others. And it was great to hear that reminder from Paul saying, actually, the work that's going on in Elisha's starting this week is actually being run by his employment. It's not being run by the church. The church will be present. You can look at the life of the Beacon and all that goes on there. It is full of partnerships and dependence on others. We say we are part of God's church in Exeter, and that means actually we can go out in vulnerability and dependence on others, and that's perfectly fine. So I want to resist at all costs that if we say, well, we're selling Cornerstone, that's releasing finance for us. That does not mean that it's all about, hey, let's go and spend some money and plant ourselves in a way where we can say, we're it, we're next. Actually, whatever comes out of that resource and that aspiration, it will still come out of a passion and a desire to serve and rely on others and join in what God's doing with others. It's great, again, Pinhoe Monkerton, that that's coming out, the United Reformed Church and the Anglicans. This is partnership. Lastly, the parable of the mustard seed. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches." As I said recently, this parable has been a real inspiration to me all over the summer and a really helpful reminder about the simplicity of what we do, that we're invited to plant mustard seeds, not grow big, plant big trees in the first place. And crucially, that those seeds are growing into a tree that gives life to others. So it doesn't just say, you know, though it's the smallest of seeds, yet it grows and it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree. It's not just a tree for the sake of being a tree. It's a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. And now's not the time, but there's great imagery in the Old Testament of trees as the symbol of the kingdom of God. And when you look at those trees, they are given as images of provision, of food, of healing, and shelter. They are gifts to those around them. What grows is places of blessing and comfort and restoration. And it can all come from just one seed. And I guess I want to encourage us this morning that we each have seeds to offer, and they only have to be mustard seeds. As of last month, you know, I am offering a new mustard seed, but it's no different to anybody else. We all have mustard seeds that we're going to plant together. We're each going to give our little offering. We've each got something to bring, and it's no greater and no worse than anyone else. And we're collectively planting a crop of trees that is bringing shelter and healing to others. We're invited to be part of a kingdom in which what's required is just to be ourselves. Again, Paul, preach it, brother, said, serve. But crucially, he was reminded, you serve by being you with other people. That's what's asked of you. It's not to kind of dream up something that you're not or try and be flashy. It's to faithfully receive the power of the Spirit in and through you, obediently walking with Jesus, loving God, and allow that to bring blessing to others. So that's the flavour that I wish to present this morning. There is plenty of detail, and there are many people that you can talk to. Perhaps on the back of this, you'd like to talk to some of the missional community leaders. Talk to people who are doing things in Pinner, Monkerton, or Beacon Heath. Maybe you want to talk to Gemma about the pastoral care team and find out what's going on. Maybe you'd like to help with some of our communication and the ways in which we tell the story of what's going on. I want to encourage you this morning, which picture here is speaking to you today about how you join in this vision of the church? What I hope I've done over the last 20 minutes or so is encourage you that there is an exciting future ahead, that we've got a great history to look back on, but we've got a great future in which God is calling us to continue to join in his mission in lots of exciting ways, and that can't help but spill out. But there are specific areas where maybe we just need to look again and address as we join in that. So is it this morning about checking on some of those rocks that potentially are blocking or stifling the flow of God in your life or the lives of around you or circumstances around you? Is there a need to check a couple of things and say, that practice in my life or that relationship isn't right? Do you today know the Lord as your shepherd? Is it time to reassert this morning and say, I am a sheep? Is it time this morning to reassert, oh God, I have complete dependence on you. I need to know your voice in my life. I need to rely on you for the future. Are you placing yourself in positions of dependence on others? Are you in places at the moment where you're saying, actually, God, I want to do your work, but I need to be relying on others and serving with others? And are you offering your mustard seed right now? Have you got the confidence to know you today have something to offer this church family? That you have been made and created to bless me, to bless us. Are you aware of what those mustard seeds are? Are you planting them at the moment? Are you giving them to this church family? Or is it time again to revisit and say, okay, there are things I need to reassess and give him? So can I just lead us in prayer? And can I just invite you, if it helps, to put out your hands, and let's just all invite the Holy Spirit afresh this morning. In a moment, we're going to receive the bread and wine, and Chris will lead us in that. But before we do, I just want to invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Lord, thank you, as we've been reminded this morning, that you want us to have life to the full. Thank you, Jesus, that you're the way, the truth, and the life. Now, just in this moment, Lord, we just invite you to speak to us about where maybe we need to see more of that flow of life. Come, Holy Spirit. You're welcome. Lord, so we commit these things that are being brought to mind. We give you any provocation from the pictures or from the passages that have been shared. We give you now anything that's been stirring in our souls, in our being this morning, and we place it firmly with you now, and we say, have your way, Lord. We offer you all that we are, and we place it before you in service. Thank you, Lord, that we're joining in with you, that this isn't about us making you do what we want, but rather this is us joining in with what you're doing in and through us. Thank you, Lord, and we just place that before you now and say, Lord, your will be done, your kingdom come. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Rich has been at pains to say that this is a shared vision, this is something collective. Nevertheless, we want to pray for Rich, especially as he leads the leadership team. So I'd ask Norman if you'd like to lead us in prayer for Rich.
Thanks, Ed. Well, I was just praying for you the other day, which happened occasionally. And I had a sense God gave me a scripture. Possibly on the back of I'm one of the few people here who have been in this gift from day one and been delighted to serve under, I think it's five. You know, Dawkins Daisy, the wonderful Bob Muriel, very briefly Dave Church, Dennis and Dale, and more recently, of course, the great Andy and Krina, who's still very much part of us. See, when I was your age, you weren't even a twinkle in anybody's eye. But I am delighted, genuinely in my heart, that you, I check this out, I'm pretty sure when you say, you've taken over the leadership younger than anybody else that you've had doing it. And I'm, O'Keefe was not like change, but then I'm not really but I like this change. I know that Andy and Karina are still very much involved and we appreciate that. And I just wanted to pray a blessing on this scripture. And I promise you, I didn't see the significance of the scripture when it first came to me. It came to me from the RSV, because that's what I studied when I was in college. And it's the verse from Proverbs, which says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. And I, for quite a while, I was saying, yeah, it would be great to play with that. Rich, yeah, it works. The blessing of the Lord. Well, I don't think it's going to make you a millionaire being leader here.
I've got a hunch too.
But I believe that God will... Just as we as a group, there's going to be a commissioning in 2 or 3 weeks' time. This is just for us as a church to pray blessing. I pray that God really bless Rich and what he shared this morning. So it's good to hear that God answers prayer. Thanks for that. And just to pray God's blessing on Rich on behalf of us all. Is that okay? Yeah. So I thank you for Rich. I thank you that your blessing will make Rich rich. Rich in love and grace and ability and anointing and all the things that he needs to take the lead part in this church. And Lord God, as I've said personally, I'm so delighted that you have raised him up for this, and I know that he is going to take us on into new areas. We are, as we've already said, grateful for everything in the past, but we are also excited about the future. And Lord, I thank you for Rich, thank you for Laura, thank you for the family. Continue to bless them abundantly, deeply, increasing the anointing, and making him rich for all that he needs in this leading.